Welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for both the local church and the workplace. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources.
I am always amazed when I look at this podcast title and it says Rainer on Leadership, because I'm saying, what do I know about leadership? But every now and then, we get a guest that comes in that really knows a lot about leadership. And Jonathan, I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about our special guest, Ronnie Floyd. Ronnie, you're going to introduce Ronnie a little bit more. He's president of Southern Baptist Convention. He's pastor of Cross Church. There's so many things that he is leading, so many initiatives, so many books he's written. Ronnie, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Tom. It is great to be with you and Jonathan. I am a chronic listener of this podcast, so I'm really honored and humbled to be here with such great men, and thank you for the privilege.
Thanks, Ronnie. Give us a little broader introduction, Jonathan.
Dr. Ronnie Floyd has been the pastor for over 36 years at Cross Church. He teaches principles from the Bible that encourage and uplift thousands of people all over the world via TV, the internet, podcast, radio, speaking engagements, and books. And since 1986, like we said, he's served as a senior pastor at Cross Church, Northwest Arkansas. In 2014, Dr. Floyd was elected the president of the Southern Baptist Convention.
Ronnie, this past Monday, I was in your territory, and I was visiting at Walmart and visiting with some of the executives there. And I just looked around at the houses that had been built, the houses that were built, the leadership that is not only at that organization, but you got Tyson, you got other corporate headquarters, and you got so many that have been attracted as a result. You have become a church that is a leader of leaders, and you are the leader of that church. Give us a little background of your journey at Cross Church and tell us some of the things that have happened there.
28 years ago, I went to what was then First Baptist Church of Springdale, and the Lord really blessed the church immeasurably, moved into a new worship center in 1988 that God seemingly used to ignite us forward in a way that was unprecedented in our history. And then it was probably in 1995 when God really did a powerful work in our church spiritually, which really ignited us into a real missional vision of reaching Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world for Jesus Christ. 13 years ago, we went to multi-site. That changed everything.
Wow.
And what most people don't understand about Northwest Arkansas, Tom and Jonathan, is that it is the home of Walmart, it is the home of J.B. Hunt, it is the home of Tyson's Foods, and also the home of the University of Arkansas. They're servicing Walmart are about 12 to 1,400 national and international companies.
Wow.
Because it is their largest account.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So with that, I just always tell people, eat more chicken, use trucks more, and go to Walmart a lot. And every now and then, if you have anything in you, root for the University of Arkansas Razorbacks.
Hey, that 3 out of 4, 4 to 5 ain't bad.
For Alabama that boys, I understand like, fully. I know that's a stretch for both of you brothers. I know.
That's great. Now, tell us a little bit more about this move to multi-campus. You said it just changed everything.
Yeah.
Give us a little more insight into that.
Well, 13 years ago, we began a campus we call Pinnacle Hills, and it just exploded. It is about 7 or 8 minutes from the Walmart headquarters, about 4 minutes from J.B. Hunt headquarters. Springdale is right down the road. Our Springdale location is right down the road, probably a half a mile from Tyson Corporation.
Wow.
And we're about 20 minutes from Springdale to the University of Arkansas. So 13 years ago, we moved to Pinnacle Hills area, which was a new emerging area that the Lord just really brought in the region, changed the whole face and the front door of Northwest Arkansas in many ways. The airport began to really take hold. We just were there when nothing was there, Tom. Mm. And God just put us at the right place at the right time, and I mean, it just has blown up. And so that campus took off, and then 4 years ago, right at 4 years ago, we started Fayetteville Congregation, where my son Nick is the pastor. And so we began that process, and when that happened, that thing is just, it's 5 minutes from the University of Arkansas, it has just exploded.
Wow.
Yeah. And so that's encouraging, and that's when we changed our name to Cross Church.
Yeah.
Because before that, we were First Baptist Church of Springdale and the church at Pinnacle Hills. And you can only do that so long. So we really had to do that. And then we had a revitalization project that came to us out of another area of Fayetteville. Yeah. And then we just started a campus in Neosho, Missouri, really to answer the call of a few faithful folks who really asked us to come and
help. So you've got five different campuses
now. We really do, yeah.
And the campuses are probably more unique in their style. I mean,
you don't have a campus,
you know, you mentioned the Fayetteville, that's in a strip mall. That's like an anchor space in a strip mall in Fayetteville.
Right.
A really large space, but not its own self-sustaining campus like Pinnacle Hills or Springdale. And then you mentioned the College Avenue is a small revitalization project, and in Neosho, probably the very similar type thing.
Yeah. It's just, it's really amazing. You know, church is so changed, and I've heard y'all do a podcast relating to church worship centers and the building usage and all that. And, you know, I saw all that happening, and I began to really study before we started Fayetteville what could happen. And what's really remarkable is that we have this space that we lease. It's 15,000 square feet, and I'm telling you, that campus last week had just under 2,400 people on it.
Wow.
And it's all about multiples, and it's about where you're located, and it's about who's teaching the word, and God is using, of course, Nick in a phenomenal way.
That's, man, just to hear that sends chills down me. Now, if you ever listen to Ronnie Floyd, and if you listen to Ronnie Floyd or read Ronnie Floyd for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, pastors and other leaders are going to hear about spiritual awakening. They're going to hear about prayer and fasting. Give us a little bit about your story, where that has become your heart and your passion, and the message I think I hear more frequently from Ronnie Floyd than anything.
Well, thank you. There's no question. Probably in college, God really began that in my heart, and developed it through the years, of course, through life and through challenges and through pastoring and through leadership, through hurt, through rejection. As a pastor periodically. Then my wife had cancer in 1990. In fact, she'll be a cancer survivor, Tom and Jonathan, for 25 years this January.
That is a story I did not know about her.
It's been 25 years ago.
Wow.
She had breast cancer, and God has used her in so many ways around that. And but anyway, in that really, obviously, we were young at that point, very young, and God just really moved dramatically in our lives. Fasting has been a part of my life since college. It obviously has developed through the years to being all kinds of things. I've talked about it. I've written about it. I've testified about it. And God has just put deeply on my heart that the greatest need in the church is a spiritual move of God, that where the manifested presence of God is just permeating the church. And then the need of America today is a spiritual awakening, a time when God so comes on the country where millions of people come to Christ. It's happened before in our history. It's time for it to happen again, and that's my heart.
Wow. This is airing in middle December, and we look back a little over a month ago, and there was this pivotal election. And yeah, we can get very political on it. We can talk about the Republicans gaining majority and what the message was. But what I heard through all of this, Ronnie, was that our nation has a hunger for something different.
That's right.
Our nation has a hunger there's a void, to use a double metaphor. There's a void. And any politics cannot fill that. When it's all said and done, they want to see not just America make a difference, but God make a difference through us. So keep that message going.
Well,
I don't think
you.
I could stop you.
Well, thanks, Tom. But I tell you what, the thing that's so encouraging to me is, and I think what you just mentioned, the most recent election, it shows that people are desperate, and it also shows that of what I've said for a couple of months now, everywhere I go, people are understanding we can't fix ourselves.
That's right.
Something's going on, and we can't fix ourselves. You look at the crises in the last 120 days in this nation and world, and I'm telling you, it shows dramatically our great need for something new and something fresh.
Wow. change the subject and shift just a moment. You have had a heart for the millennial generation. Now, there are different boundaries of what those dates are. Mine are 1980 to 2000. But these young adults that are now becoming leaders in different places, what do you see on the horizon for millennials specifically as it relates to local churches?
Well, I believe that local churches had better get ready for a new kind of leader. I think they have to get ready to do what they can within our own churches to become more friendly to that generation, whatever that may mean. Y'all talk about that quite often. I think also that we have to always keep our commitment in the local church of being a New Testament church that is multi-generational, multicultural, multi-ethnic. I think that's real critical to me. I don't ever see in the book of Acts anywhere that there was a one kind of people church.
Right.
And so while we really lift up the need for that, I think that's important. But I tell you what I really believe is the great need for training up leaders, especially these millennial pastors, millennial staff members, millennial leaders in the church, to become true men and women of God who are real churchmen, who have a strong commitment to theological balance, but to an acceleration towards the completion of the Great Commission.
That's good.
And if we can do that, then I'm telling you, we're going to make a difference.
Well, I know you've done that and started the Cross Church School of Ministry, and that's kind of something that's come out of your heart for the millennials.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about how that works. I know that's the sponsor. We've had them on before.
Well, here. Thank you.
Thank you for sponsoring the podcast. And But the Cross Church School of Ministry that you guys are doing out of the church up there.
We started it a little over a year ago. In fact, we're in our second year. We called a man who had been with me before, who has an earned doctorate, who was pastoring a church that was running just under 1,000. His name is Dr. Jeff Crawford. Jeff is highly gifted, had been with me before, great teacher of God's Word, great leader. And he came on to help us formulate this with me. The vision is this, is to give and to provide a one-year residency to prepare leaders for life, ministry, and gospel advancement globally. Mm. That's where we stay. That's what we talk about. So really, we believe just like doctors have a residency, pastors are one of the few groups that don't ever have residencies. That's why there's such a high failure rate.
That's exactly right.
And that's a real tragedy. And so we're not competing with academia. We're complementary to academia.
Yeah.
We can do what academia cannot do, and academia can do what we really cannot do, and nor do we choose that we want to do. But what we do, we've established partnerships, relationships with universities, seminaries that are university-driven and are Christian-driven. And these guys and girls can come to us, and they can gain academic hours at their bachelor's level, master's level, and we're even talking about another level in relationship towards getting it. Just by them coming to be with us, they can fulfill a church planting internship with us. They determine their own track of ministries. They say, let's say I want to be a student pastor. I want to be a worship pastor. I want to be this or this or this. We establish customized tracks. Our first graduating class had 10. Right now, we have 18 in our second year.
That's great.
Two are international. We have 5 that are married. The rest are single.
Well, the good news is we not only is this a sponsor, but for those who have come to the podcast via my website, we have all the link information so that
they
can find out
that.
A lot more about that. You cannot leave this podcast till I ask you some things about that which is dear to my heart and to yours, and it's a relationship with your sons. You've talked about Nick. Tell us about your boys. Tell us what's going on. And this is not, I'm an introvert, so this isn't social time. This is something that is really passionate to me about making family that kind of priority. Tell us about them.
Tom, I can remember the very day. I can remember where I was. I was about to return to church on an afternoon to go to a deacon's meeting. I went home to see my children. They were young, and it was in another church. God was blessing the church immeasurably, but there were always challenges too,
right?
Just like in every church. And I determined at a certain stop sign, I will never again from this point on sacrifice my family on the altar of ministry success.
Wow. And what age were your children at that
point? My children were like really young. I would say probably, I think when we moved, Josh was in kindergarten, and Nick was 3 or 4.
Wow.
And so with that, you know, we started doing things every Friday. I take off with Gina. We've done that for all these years. Obviously, I never missed certain things with the boys. I still try not to. Very challenging now. I'm a grandfather of 6, so that's a little hard to keep up with that group.
I understand.
And so, but I do my best. And but anyway, Josh is the head football coach at Hewitt Trustful High School in the greater Birmingham area.
Know
just
it
took
well.
That job.
Yep.
And a great school, going to the playoffs for the first time. So
congrats.
We're grateful. And and so with that, he has 3 sons, and then Nick has been on our team now for a little over 5 years. He has his bachelor's, master's, doctorate degree, and is a teacher and preacher of God's word. Very gifted leader, humble leader. Both my boys have had enormous success. Josh has won state championships. Nick has this booming church. Probably preaches to as many college students as I don't know who else preaches to that many more
right.
around the country. And so with it, the Lord's just blessed them. And it really comes back to a commitment to the Lord, a commitment to family, and not letting that it be interrupted by anything.
That's a good word. Boy, I hope that is heard well by the pastors and the church staff members and by anybody who has family as a priority.
You mentioned earlier the multi-generational and multi-ethnic churches and the need for that. But one of the ways churches can do that and facilitate that is by hiring and raising up multi-ethnic leadership. And I know that's something you guys have done at Cross Church. Tell us a little bit about that and how important that is to creating that multi-ethnic, multi-generational atmosphere.
Well, we really went and hired whom we felt was the best that God was leading us towards. And our worship pastor is Julio Arreola.
Yeah.
And
we were with him in an event earlier
this year. I've
been
with him a few times.
And
he is incredible.
Phenomenal.
Yes.
Yeah, phenomenal.
He really is phenomenal. And you know what's really amazing is, guys, 12 years ago he couldn't speak the English language.
Wow.
I mean, he's got a story that is just unbelievable. And the Lord brought him with us. Now that I'm president of the Southern Baptist Convention, last year he was elected to be the first music director, is what the actual terminology
really?
Is, of the Southern
Maybe
Baptist Convention. I would love
days.
To see that change. But anyway, the first music director of the Southern Baptist Convention, that is a Mexican-American. That's never been done.
Mm, that's incredible.
And so, you know, it's one of the many things, as you know, out of our just under 50,000 churches, over 10,000 are multi-ethnic.
Right.
And you know, our church has a very big commitment to that. You know, we're seeing that. Obviously, the region's changed now completely with
right.
the with all of that's going on in our region. So many people have moved in, and with that we've had a real commitment to try our very best to lift that up. And I'm very committed to try my best to say, okay, how can I do that? How can I increase doing that? I think a New Testament church has got to be a multi-generational, multicultural, multi-ethnic, and we just let the love of Christ and the power of God come upon us among all generations.
I can almost anticipate the questions coming from the listeners on this. How do I do that? And I shouldn't be answering the questions for you, but I am.
Good.
It begins with leadership.
Yeah.
You model it, you emphasize it, you make it a priority, and the church makes it a priority. If you do, if you're a church, for example, that is all Anglo, and you have representation in your community that is significantly other, that leader has to be intentional.
Yeah.
That's why Cross Church is so multi-ethnic, multi-language, whatever you want to call the multis, it
yeah,
is that.
Exactly. Yeah, well, the main thing is that we're faithful to reach our community. You know, the church needs to look like the community, and we're trying to do that. I'm not saying we're doing it any better than anybody else, but we're trying. We're very intentional.
Absolutely.
We're getting more intentional. I know when we had a recent appointment service at the International Mission Board, that the president then, Dr. Tom Eliff, said, when I walked around the worship center of Pinnacle Hills, I felt like I was at the United Nations.
Wow.
That's a big statement. That's probably an overstatement, but he probably wasn't used to seeing that in a typical church like ours.
Exactly.
And so I'm really grateful that that's happening. May God let it happen. And that is a major question. How can you do that? There's a lot in that. I don't know all the full answers.
Thanks, Ronnie.
The Cross Church School of Ministry is a one-year residential ministry experience hosted by Cross Church and Dr. Ronnie Floyd. It is uniquely designed to prepare leaders for life, ministry, and gospel advancement globally. For more information about the Cross Church School of Ministry, visit crosschurchschool.com. That'll do it for this week's episode of Rainer on Leadership. Any final closing thoughts, Dr. Rainer?
I want to close by not making this Rainer on Leadership, but Ronnie Floyd on Leadership. Ronnie indicated at the beginning of the podcast, as we were having informal discussions, that about one-third of the listeners are pastors, another one-third are staff members, and then one-third lay leaders. I want to ask you to speak to that one-third who are pastors, because you have been a pastor, you are a pastor, and you are a pastor to pastors. Wide open, what would you like to say to the few thousand who might be listening at this point?
I would tell every pastor today the greatest thing you can do for your life, for your family, for your church, is to have a deep walk with God and to get yourself alone with the Lord every day and ask the power of God to fill your life and overflow your life. And from that, let ministry burst forth within you. And you do all you can with all God has gifted you to be the leader you need to be in that church. Take the needed risk, but be extremely wise. And beyond that, you give your life to the fulfillment of taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to every person in your community, every person in your state, and every person around the world. And if you'll do that, and you have your heart in that, God will seemingly bless you immeasurably.
I can't add to that. Thank you, Ronnie Floyd.
That'll do it for this week's episode of Rainer on Leadership. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us online at TomRainer.com.